pase. Pierna derecha, directo al arco. ¡Golazo! ¡Golazo!
The world of football with a soccer perspective. This is Soccer Today with Dwayne Mullins and Kevin Larame, live on the Sports Podcasting Network.
Good day, good night, and welcome to Soccer Today for Friday, March 22nd, 2019. I'm Kevin Larame, joined by Dwayne Mullins. As always, we're going to preview the weekend. Today, a lot of games in this international break, Dwayne. Euro 2020 qualifiers, we have Nations League game, international friendlies. The United States men's national team beat Ecuador yesterday on a lucky bounce. And a ton of games in Euro 2020 qualifiers on Sunday, on Monday. It's really starts today. But how you doing?
I'm doing well. I am one of many, many people in the world that is currently affected by Twitter's automatic password looping issues. So that's why I'm not on Twitter. I feel I should put that statement out there so people don't think I'm dead, because I'm on it quite a bit otherwise. I'm sure this will get resolved eventually, and I'll be back there sharing every nuance of my thought at all times, as the platform is designed for. But what I do truly miss about it is I did not get to see get the opportunity to see the complete meltdown that surely have occurred when the U.S. barely scraped by Ecuador last night.
Yeah. I haven't followed the hashtag last night, but maybe you did miss something. But you know, it's a win. Ecuador is not a bad team, so it's hey, Berhalter.
U.S. fans tend to view.
Oh, go ahead.
U.S. fans tend to view themselves as U.S. fans tend to view themselves as a. Those clubs, even though they haven't really displayed it on the paper. So the bigger test really is coming up next at the end of this international break. But they don't really mean anything, as we talked about earlier this week. There's hard to get ourselves motivated for this international break. Yes, there are Euro qualifiers, but as I was saying to you, Kevin, off air, They lack something now. There's 24 teams in the tournament. They do. I think at the end of the Euro qualifying the last time, they was kind of entertaining to see teams like Albania or Northern Ireland get an opportunity to get a sniff at the tournament. But now that the novelty of that's worn off, it's just like this is a big process to cut the fat off, right? It doesn't start to work very well.
No, exactly. And we apologize for some of the audio issues that we've been having lately. Dwayne's coming in and out, we're working on it and trying to have a better solution going forward. But one thing that is happening this weekend, though, amidst all those international friendlies and Euro qualifiers, and yeah, Major League Soccer is having 5 games this weekend. Let's take a look quickly at the 5 games this weekend, Dwayne. FC Dallas tomorrow at 5:55 p.m. What a weird timing. Let's start the game 5 minutes before the top of the hour. 5:55, why not? FC Dallas, Colorado. Tomorrow, New York Red Bulls, Orlando tomorrow as well, 7:30. Philly, Columbus as well. LAFC, Real Salt Lake. Last game tomorrow night, and on Sunday there's one game at 4 p.m. New England FC Cincinnati. Which one of those 5 games do you plan to watch for sure?
I would have to say that I'm all of them, because there's nothing else going on. No, and I'm joking. I think that I want to watch the Red Bulls play Orlando. Because I'm curious to see what the Red Bulls are a little bit more. And Orlando, are they the same bad team that we've had? They had a result to start the season. They didn't quite get it done against Montreal. To me, there's some intrigue there. LAFC versus RSL is an interesting one too. But all in all, my general thought during these breaks is, why are we still having MLS teams play on them? For those who don't know, a few years ago, the league did offer the opportunity for clubs to opt out of this, which is why you see many clubs doing so. And it always strikes me as an illustration of a club that doesn't completely have their priorities straight, to be blunt, when I see them playing on these dates. Because why would you risk it? I guess if you have a roster that is primarily does does not include international players, then maybe you might see a strategic advantage in playing in these weeks if they allow you to. But other than that, I mean, I don't know. The one that always strikes that is playing on these weeks is the Red Bulls, because they always do. And I'm not too sure why that is, and why they, as a club, even though they do so many things right, have determined to not do this one right. Because quite bluntly, I'm not even going to hide the fact that I think it's wrong to play on an international break, because it just is. You don't want to make your players have to make that choice, and you don't want to, because they don't have a choice. They mentally might have a choice to, you know, be frustrated by it. And by forcing them into that kind of dilemma, I just think it's bad, but it's a dirty pool type thing, right? And I think it's a poor chance. And MLS, if it's to evolve again, needs to stop doing this. They just need to. They need to figure it out. If that means reducing the schedule in the season, then so be it. I'm fine with that. I mean, this is a playoff league, you know. Just reduce the schedule to 30 again. It was 30 when TFC started 10 years ago or 12 years ago now. So it's been that low before, and it can go that low again if it has to. And then maybe you expand and have a round robin playoff format like we talked about in Belgium or something. Like, there's ways around this. Just figure it out. They change the format every year, so change it again.
Yeah. For me, LAFC RSL is truly going to be a fun one to watch, because we've seen LAFC play without Marc-Anthony Kay before last year, and well, that didn't turn out so well. So for me, even though LAFC is getting a great beginning of season, RSL might have a shot here at Bank of California, but still, it will be a tough one. I still favor LAFC, but LAFC with a few players missing because of international duties, it will be interesting. But the rest of the calendar this weekend is, well, you mentioned the Red Bulls in Orlando. It's kind of a litmus test to see where you are in the Eastern Conference when you play against Orlando, especially at home at Red Bull Arena. Can you put a few past Orlando's keeper? Can you win by a few goals? Can you make a statement? Or will you be that team that loses to Orlando and maybe have that dip in confidence come because of a loss like that? That could be something too. But we'll keep an eye on the game in Major League Soccer. But Dwayne, as well as Major League Soccer, we do have European qualifiers. Look at all those games. Bulgaria, Montenegro, Albania, Turkey, Andorra, Iceland. Those are all today. Moldova, France, the world champion, are starting their qualification adventure for the Euro 2020. Portugal, Ukraine, Luxembourg, Lithuania, and England, Czech Republic. Those are the games today. England and France both playing today.
England, France, yeah. I always like to watch the England games. As I said to you off the top, it is a bit difficult to get too pumped up about this. But once the balls kick, you know, international football is always a little bit fun. But I'm kind of having international football fatigue. I mean, between the World Cup and then the Nations League was exciting, and it did better than I think most people thought it would. And then we're immediately jumping into a European qualifying campaign. Then we have the Cold Cup. There's a lot of it now. And I don't know what the answer is, because every confederation wants its little piece of it. Every tournament needs to have qualifying. I don't think there's much appetite to reduce qualifying or to provide buys or something like that. And it's just, it always goes. There's so much football out there that it's, you know, it's because the appetite's out there. That's the problem with anyone who, you know, sits back and criticizes decisions to add tournaments, which we do in places like this. But then we go, at the same breath, we'll go, you know, but we'd probably watch it. And this is it. So we'll watch the games. I'm pumped up for the Canada game. I'm excited for that one. That's kind of what I'm revolving my weekend around, that one. I'll probably tune in to at least one or two of the MLS games and catch the rest of them in the extended highlights. But yeah, it also, to me, Kevin, these international breaks, for those of us that are day in, day out in this sport, it's almost like a breath. It's when we, like, go see our loved ones a little.
Hi, Mom. Right. Hi, Dad. How you been? Haven't seen you since Christmas.
Exactly. So yeah. I'll be doing a little of that this weekend. Although, I was about to say it's a nice spring day, but I'm looking at the window here and there's friggin' snow again.
Like, oh, yeah, it's coming my way, too. Yeah, snow's coming. Tomorrow, Gibraltar versus Ireland, Malta versus Faroe Islands, Sweden, Romania, Italy, Finland, Spain, Norway, Bosnia and Herzegovina versus Armenia, and Liechtenstein, if you play that word in Scrabble, or Words with Friends. It's worth it. And Greece, those are happening tomorrow. And that wraps up match day one of 10 in the Euro qualifier. Dwayne, you mentioned the Canada game. You mentioned the Nations League. Well, it's coming. And Sunday, we're having the latest round in the Nations League. Well, Sunday for us. But there's a lot of other games in the Nations League too, Dwayne. Anguilla versus the U.S. Virgin Islands. St. Lucia, Aruba. Cayman Islands, Montserrat. And I kind of wish Montserrat will do well. Because if they get a win and other results go their way, they might qualify for their first Gold Cup.
Yeah, look, I think that's the most interesting thing about this round is you look at the teams in that 7 through 10 position in the standings, and right now it's Guyana, Bermuda, St. Kitts and Nevis, and Dominican Republic, and those are four teams that we've never seen in a Gold Cup. Well, St. Kitts and Nevis have been there before. DR probably has too, but Bermuda certainly has it. And you look below it, there's teams like El Salvador and Nicaragua, which are consistent participants in it that are kind of struggling and are outside it right now. Now they could bring themselves back up into it, but the potential of having nations that we've never seen in a Gold Cup, I think is really worthwhile. Now they have expanded the Gold Cup to 16 teams, so that's why there's a little bit more possibility here. But I think that's the most interesting thing, other than, you know, simply watching Canada play. There have, of course, been two results in this round already, Kevin.
Yeah, exactly. But Canada is playing, and Canada will play on Sunday. Sorry, go ahead.
I the two results for those, because I know everyone is glued to the CONCACAF Nations League qualifying results. The British Virgin Islands got a 2-2 draw with Turks and Caicos, and St. Vincent and Grenadines beat Bonaire 2-1. So there you go. That's how it's already started.
It already started. And on Sunday, March 24th, there's one round three games left for some reason. The British Virgin Islands will play again versus Bonaire, this time on Sunday. But round four, Puerto Rico, Grenada on Sunday. Dominican Republic, Bermuda, Haiti versus Cuba, Barbados, Nicaragua. And of course, the Canada versus French Guyana game. Here is the updated roster for you on your screen. It will be at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific on Sunday at BC Place. Jay Chapman, Liam Fraser, Kamon Miller will replace Scott Arfield, Alfonso Davies, and Will Johnson for Sunday's game. A few MLS team representatives, Samuel Piet and Zachary Brogiard for the Montreal Impact. You do have Jay Chapman, Jonathan Osorio for Toronto, and a lot more. You have players like Derek Cornelius from Vancouver, Maxime Crépeau from the Vancouver Whitecaps as well, who will probably be the starting goalkeeper, Marc-Anthony Kay, one of the youngest roster and maybe one of the most talented Canadian roster ever, Dwayne.
Oh, for sure. And we talked about this on Two Salted yesterday with Jamie McLeod. Listen to that if you can. $2 or more per donation at patreon.com sports podcasting network. Where we broke it down and talked about the Blazers in history. But no, I think it's very exciting, even though I don't think this is going to mean much. By the time the game kicks off, I suspect Canada will have clinched qualification to Group A just based on other results. But it is an opportunity to see these young kids play together again. And every time that we do see them out there, even without Alfonso Davies, even if it is without Oscar Arfield, who I think is actually a little bit better than Davies right now in terms of his overall play, even dropping those two quality players, it's still a really worthwhile roster, and it's exciting to see what is, I think, going to be a vital 2019 for Canada. I suspect with not only the Gold Cup, but there's, you know, most people are suggesting the World Cup qualifying will start in the fall. So a lot going on this year and a lot to play for, and this is the first chance to really, really get it going. And hopefully we'll talk a lot more about this team moving forward, because you know, if we're not, then there's a problem.
Yeah, and you know why I'm excited for this Nations League game too? This will be the first broadcasted game by MediaPro. It's going to be broadcasted on TSN2, RDS2, RDS Info, actually, I think. It changed this week. But anyways, on one of the RDS channels for sure, and one of the TSN channels, this game is a product of the MediaPro and the Canadian Premier League and the Canadian Soccer Association partnership with basically the Canadian soccer business and Media Pro partnership, this is the first game of that partnership. We'll get to see production values. We'll get to see how Media Pro monetizes their own advertisement and how they sell it. If we're going to see Canadian Premier League advertisement, that's an interesting aspect too, if we're going to see those advertisement on TV. But Dwayne, this is a landmark presentation on our television, the first Media Pro Canadian soccer business product will be on our television Sunday at 6 p.m.
I think the best sign about it is it's on, it's there, right? Like that's it's happening. They've got it on TSN, and it shows the willingness of both Media Pro to work with.
They probably paid for it,
though. Media Pro to work with. Yeah, well, yeah, but that's fine because you know they need to get their business model working. Their business model is to try and build a product that eventually they can sell. Is essentially what this is. This is a loss leader for them, but the fact that they're willing to do that and the fact that TSN is, you know, willing to give up some airtime for it is good too. I mean, it would be ideal if these media companies in this country would be willing to spend the money to do this, but I do understand that there are limitations on how much they can spend. And, you know, real quickly to belabor an old point, a lot of people like to get up in arms about the fact that Canadian national team games in the middle of nowhere aren't on TV. Well, the amount of money it would spend to send a crew out to film a game in a park in Austria, you know, when they're playing those kind of games is not going to be recouped anywhere close to what it would cost to actually have more friendlies. So, you know, it's the fact they have a third party now that is willing to maybe do that and invest for their own purposes is something that I think is going to at least get a hell of a lot more games streamed. And look, to the CSA's credit, now that streaming technology is easier to set up and get going, like we saw all the Algarve games were televised this year. That's the first time I can remember that happening, right? So if you are interested in watching Canadian teams, you can now. And this is a long way from the bad old days. And I remember them very well when you'd be on the Voyageurs board desperately trying to find a radio link or someone at the stadium that could text in or phone in results even. I mean, I could always
someone
tell the story
in his
about
room.
The Cyprus.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Or one guy in his bedroom somewhere in Cyprus listening to the game on the radio and relaying information to fans of Canada on a board.
I'll tell the story real quickly for those that haven't heard it before. The Canada was playing Cyprus in a friendly, and there was no TV, there was no radio, there was no nothing that you could get anywhere. And there was this kid from Cyprus who logged on and found the Voyageurs board, had logged on to basically troll the Canadian fans for a while, and then he started to like take pity on us because we couldn't watch it. He couldn't believe this because in his part of the world that would just not be thinkable. And he's from Cyprus. Think about this. So he eventually listen to the game on Cyprus radio, local radio, and brought and texted updates, minute by minute updates onto the Voyageurs board. So that to me was the epitome of the Voyageurs back then. I also remember an Iceland game where it was the early days of like finding internet streams, and it was Iceland TV, and they have four channels there, and you could see all four, but they'd rotate around this box, so you'd have to like constantly change your point of view. It was hilarious.
Oh, what we had to go through back in the dark ages of Canadian soccer to enjoy our sport. But things are changing. Things are on the way up.
Yeah. And look, this is a good game. It's good to have this the Media Pro out there. I mean, I know that there's some questions about some of their past business dealings, and I'm not here to dismiss them. I think that we need to keep an eye on type of stuff, but at the same time, I also believe that, you know, we should take each deal and each partnership on its own merits, and there's nothing to suggest right now that there's anything wrong with this partnership.
Yeah, not yet. And you know, there's an analogy that the ocean of the world of football is infested by a lot of sharks, but the thing is, not all sharks are like one unidimensional. Some sharks are sharks at some parts of the world, and then they come work with you, and they're great. And, you know, sometimes it happens in this world of soccer. Canada's been in partnership with companies that had tremendous weird and very weird business practices in the United States, but in Canada, it wasn't that bad. Like, they actually were working grassroots here and okay. And I'm referring to traffic at some point here. But in the States, it was like very, very well corrupt organization. So it depends. The world and the ocean of football is a weird place where sometimes a shark comes and have a partnership with you and becomes a dolphin.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Real quickly before we go, that's one more time. Just promote the Voyageurs viewing parties if you are not able to get to Vancouver and do wish to watch the game with like-minded fans. I know the Duke one in Toronto will probably have, it usually has 20 to 30, maybe sometimes 50 to 100, even when it gets to a big game. I suspect it'll be 20 to 30 tomorrow. Café Frappé in Montreal, that's on St. Laurent. You've got Nicolini's in Winnipeg. You've got the Duke of Gloucester, which is on Yonge Street above the it's on Yonge Street. You could just use your smeller. The Lobby in Regina, Gibson's Fish and Chips on Louise in Saskatoon, Celtic Corner in Dartmouth. Ottawa has the Senate Tavern and Bank, the Pint Off White, which sounds like a delightful little place. I want to go to the Pint Off White one day in Edmonton. Kickoff Pub in Kitchener-Waterloo.
I want a pint of white.
The end. There you go. Why do enjoy my Belgians? I say that in beers for the record. Kickoff Pub in Kitchener-Waterloo, the End Zone in Hamilton. That's a new one from yesterday when we made the announcement. And if happenstance, you can go to Park Bar. God, if anyone's in Park Bar, please send me a photo. I want to see the Voyageur viewing in Beijing.
Well, there's going to be one guy. And you know, one guy. That's all it takes. One's not a party. Two's maybe a party. Three's a crowd. So depends how many people will there be in Beijing. But I wish I could be there. Dwayne, yeah, exactly. And well, that's our weekend preview. That's the amount of games in the international world that happens this weekend. And as always, you can follow Dwayne at 24th Minute. Myself at Kev Laramie. Dwayne will be back on Twitter one day. Make sure you follow him for that day to come back. Right?
Oh God. If I don't burn Twitter down to the ground, I did. There's hundreds of people are having the same issue. So they did something this week that has screwed everything up. So yeah. Hopefully the little engineers are working like busy little bees because I miss my tweets.
Yeah, and we miss you too, Dwayne. We miss your remarks and your presence on Twitter for sure. Mm-hmm. But so that's all we got for you this week. Make sure you keep an eye on social media for our coverage of the Nations League game on Sunday. We'll be back Monday with a full recap of what happened on Sunday, and we'll have a recap of the Major League Soccer games on Monday too. And as always, until the next time we meet, we do wish you a great soccer.
You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.